This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, this is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. A pretty different vibed kind of Cliffo and Gabby show today. Got a bit raw at times, and I think it's good. It's good to be open and honest. And
we had a bit of a D&M.
Give the fart and boob and poo jokes a rest for the day, Gabs.
Just for a minute. We're never going to get rid of them completely. But no, I did reveal my little secret that for the last 10 months I haven't told anyone that I was trying for a baby.
Yeah.
And explained the reasons why I kept it a secret, but the reasons why I completely regret keeping it a secret.
We won't go into it in this introduction to the pod right now because for the first time in the last couple of hours, you don't look like a panda bear right now.
I know. I can't do it again.
You've composed yourself.
It got real emosh.
But it should get emotional. It is emotional and you've been through a tough time and it was really, really great that you shared that. So hang about. That is worth price of admission for the podcast today, if nothing else. She's probably the hardest working member of our team, Producer Brooke.
Definitely. There's no question.
We love having Producer Brooke on our team, but is it a safe thing to say that Brooke is a bag of surprises?
Oh, definitely.
I reckon, Brooke, like once
like on a weekly basis,
you come out with something. Like,
definitely.
Here's an example. One weekend, we go do our Saturday, Sunday, whatever, we come back and we're like, oh, what did everyone do on the weekend? Like, we caught up Monday morning, much similar to how we did this morning. And Brooke's like, oh, not much. Went skydiving, got a Shrek tattoo, just the ush. I'm like,
that's not ush.
I went to Coles. That was the high point of my weekend. But we have put a photo up on our Instagram at Cliffo and Gabby. Brooke, can you explain to us what's going on in this photo?
So it's a photo of my bed and my partner Ryan is trying to sleep in there, but he's surrounded by over 20 teddies that I sleep with.
So they're your teddies, not Ryan's teddies?
They're mine, but a lot of them he bought for me.
No, it's still yours though.
That's nice. That is nice.
So you
still weird.
Sleep with all of these teddies on your bed.
I can't not sleep without them. I do wake up and I see some on the floor because Ryan gets a bit annoyed and he knocks them off.
Interesting. Because I thought maybe it was like decorative cushions where they're on the bed for display and then you take them off to sleep, but not the case.
You all share the bed together.
Yeah. There's like 20 in the bed and the little one's
said. Roll over. Brooke, why?
It's just so comfortable. I literally get them and I put them all around my body and then I have one on top, one's like a pillow. It's just the only way I can sleep, really.
Yeah, have you heard of a weighted blanket?
I feel like I should invest in it.
Look, it's a great photo and big love to Rye,
who's cute.
Just got his head poking out the top next to a pink ostrich, of all things.
Hey, I love that he supports you in this. It's very nice.
He's a good man.
Yeah, he
You've
is.
Done well there, Brooke. 13 10 60, after learning that Producer Brooke sleeps with upwards, what did you say, about 20?
Over 20.
Upwards of 20 teddy bears every night. 13 10 60, give us a call. Are you an adult who sleeps with a teddy bear?
Oh, teddy bear.
I don't
hate the idea of it, to be honest.
I just
don't because I feel like it's inappropriate, like you're meant to grow out of it, but I think it would be comforting
but even
to cuddle
then,
one.
Like, you know, just close your ears for a sec, Brooke. One teddy or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool.
20?
What are you doing up with the 20, Brooke?
You can't cuddle them all.
What are you doing, mate?
Oh, but I can, and I do.
Got to share the love. I'm a huggy guy, but for me, it's an extra pillow. I've got my two pillows that I sleep with my head on, and then there's a third pillow that I will cuddle and then throw off the bed.
Which is just a grown-up version of a teddy bear, because that's exactly the purpose a teddy bear plays.
Am I being too harsh on Brooke?
You're practically cuddling your own teddy.
13, 10, 60, give us a call. Are you an adult who sleeps with teddies? And
singular
why?
Or multiple?
There's got to be more out there. It can't just be. And if in the meantime, see the photo of poor Ryan drowning in plush toys.
In a sea of toys.
13, 10, 60, we want adults who sleep with teddies. Linda's here right now. Hey, Linda.
Morning, mate.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Linda.
How many is it for you?
It's not for me, but for my daughter. Imagine a 41-year-old girl sleeping with a 41-year-old Care Bear.
Aww.
Whose eyes have been replaced once, its nose twice. Men come and go, but guess what? The teddy bear's still there.
Which Care Bear is it? Does it have a rainbow or a four-leaf clover?
After 41 years, I don't reckon you'd be able to tell anymore, Linda.
I can tell you, it's light blue and it's called Dreamtime.
Dreamtime, yes. It's got like the moon and star on its tummy.
Does Dreamtime have a name? Just Dreamtime or?
No, just Dreamtime. Dreamtime. She says Care Bear. She calls it Care Bear.
Care Bear. And I like that. Men come and go.
But the Care Bear's
always
there.
But you know who's always there for you? Care Bear! Every night!
Oh, I'm actually really nervous because I have been keeping a secret from everyone for about 10 months, which I have said is very unlike me. I'm very much an open book. But this secret is very personal. So I'm already getting teary. I'm very, I'm nervous to share it, but I think it's something that needs to be talked about more. And I actually regret keeping this secret. So I'm going to explain. If you're a long-standing listener to this show, you may have followed my journey a fair few months ago when I was talking about my fertility. And I was talking about how I was getting older and the wedding was pushed back because of COVID. And I wanted to check if I was, you know, losing the battle with the biological clock. And at that same time, my partner, Nev, and I actually decided to start trying for a baby. So it's been about 10 months now that we've been on this journey, and I really did not realize when we had the conversation 10 months ago that it would be such an emotional journey, because when we discussed it, we're really excited about it. We're really excited about just the idea of becoming a little family, and that was the main emotion. And we didn't want to tell anyone because we didn't want that added pressure. We thought it'd be pretty chill. We'd just, you know, give it a go and see what happened. And I was also really excited about the idea of surprising everyone with that news if it were to happen. So there are a few reasons we kept it a secret, but now that it's been a while and it hasn't happened, I really wish I hadn't kept it to myself, because I've actually needed that support network and I haven't had it there because I didn't tell anyone that's what we're doing. And then it got to a point where it was kind of too far gone to be like, oh, this has, you know, been happening. And we just kind of kept it to ourselves. But it's really hard. Like, you grow up thinking that this is what our bodies are made for. And it'll be like, you know, that I know so many people who have struggled with fertility. And I know so many people who go a couple of years, 10 years, 20 years trying for a baby and it doesn't happen. But when you first have that conversation, you just have that faith that it'll be easy and that, you know, it'll just happen because you want it to happen. And every month when you get your period and it hasn't happened, it's just a kick in the guts, and the excitement starts to wane and the sadness grows, and then you're thinking, what if? And you're thinking, will this ever happen? And it just, the longer it goes on, the harder and sadder it does get. And it has been about 10 months. And they say that, you know, a lot of couples take up to a year to fall pregnant naturally. And then that's when you go and you seek help or intervention from the doctor. So we're not at that point yet. But it's been a really difficult kind of 10 months. And I've started getting angry at my body. I started, this might be a bit TMI, but I started resenting the act of falling pregnant, if you get what I mean.
Oh, wow.
Because,
okay.
You know, it wasn't doing the job it's meant to be doing.
To do.
And so I was kind of like mad at that.
Oh,
and so then it starts to affect your relationship in a little way from that intimacy perspective. But Nev and I are doing great. Like, we're really doing well. We know that, you know, we haven't even dove into that science world where intervention in the future might be necessary. We know we've got time, but I wanted to talk about it. One, because I want to tell all my friends and family, so I do have that support that I need. Because
it's been
very
emotional.
And that
breaks my heart that hasn't been there for you.
I know, and it's my own fault. And that was a choice that I do regret making. I really do. But I also wanted to talk about it because there are so many women and men out there who not only struggle to fall pregnant, but it takes a little bit longer than you expect. And I don't think until you're in it, you understand how hard it is. Like, even if it's only 2, 3, 4 months, it's still like, it can still be really depressing or emotional just going through those stages. So I just wanted to talk about it, and I want it to not be a taboo subject to talk about. And I want people to know that to have that support network is so important. And that's what I'm doing now as well.
Good on you.
So snotty.
I know that was really hard for you to do.
Really hard.
That would have been really hard for a lot of people to listen to.
Yeah.
We are all here for you. And I thank you for being so honest and open there, because that's you telling your story, but that is you telling the story of thousands of Queenslanders.
Totally.
Everyone knows someone who has struggled. So like I say, while that's your story, that could just be so many people's stories. So I think that's really, really big of you to be so open and honest about that.
Yep.
And yeah, just to own that like you have in a public forum, like good on you. And yeah, we love you. We love you. And
I need you guys.
We're here for you.
I need the support. So thank you.
No, thank you for doing that. People are definitely resonating with this. You've struck a chord with beautiful and just open and honest way you spoke about this. But 131060 is the phone number if you do want to weigh in. Ashley caught up straight away. Ashley, what do you want to add, mate?
I just wanted to say a massive thank you to Gabby for that announcement that she just put out there, because it's one thing to hear it on social media. It's one thing to hear it from friends and family, but to hear it from someone that is so known to so many people through their radios every day, it brings support.
Thanks, Ash. It was a toughie, but it's a conversation we need to have, hey?
Definitely. My wife and I have been trying for 11 months.
Yeah.
My wife has just been hit down with a medical condition called functional neurological disorder.
Wow.
So it may be something that we aren't able to look into due to the fact that she's currently in rehab and is learning to walk again.
Oh, wow.
I'm so sorry.
So we're going through this emotional turmoil of, you know, we're not going to be able to have our baby, and now, you know, we have to go through this struggle to find a suitable house for her and going through this process. And she's probably the strongest person I know, and that was the one thing that's upset her, is that we can't have our baby.
Ashley, thank you for sharing your story as well.
Big hugs to you, Ash.
I think it's what a lot of us were thinking while we were listening to Gabby. Like, we all know someone, and while you've shared your story and Gabby shared hers, it's such a familiar story all over Queensland. Is this Rosalie?
Yes, it is. I was just ringing up to give some support to Gabby, and if she would like to have a coffee and a chat, I'm always welcome.
Thank you, Rosalie. That's so beautiful.
No, I understand where you're coming from, sweetheart. I had a child, but I have other friends who have gone through similar situations.
Yeah.
And I do understand where your needs are. And if you'll ever need a coffee or a chat, I'm always here.
That's such a beautiful offer. Thank you so much, Rosalie.
That's all right, darling. And you have a lovely day.
You too, Rosalie.
What a sweetheart.
Oh, thank you to everyone who's reached out on my Instagram as well, because
Yeah, as I said,
the support is everything. So thank you.
Tracy's just also caught up quickly too. Gabs, what did you want to say, Tracy?
It is possible. I was told I would never, and I mean never, by two specialists.
Wow.
That I would never, ever have children. I now have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. They were born perfectly healthy. It was when I gave up and just went, you know what, it is what it is. And then because I was not focusing on being a mum, having a baby, planning for things, within months, it was like 4 months later that I found out I was 10 weeks pregnant.
It's not the first time.
It's such a common story, isn't it?
Yeah, it's when you kind of relax that things can be. And everyone's story is different, but sometimes that is that way for some people when you relax.
That's it. And I definitely haven't given up hope. I definitely have not given up hope. Like, I know there are plenty of options out there for me. It's just, it is hard. And I just wanted to really make sure everyone is okay with it being hard. Like, you're going through the emotions, and you don't have to hide that. You're allowed to be sad.
To the phones again now. Hey, who's this?
Hi, my name's Bree.
Hey, Bree.
Hi, Bree.
Hi, and I just wanted to thank you for sharing this story, Gabby, because I also, it took me and my husband about a year and a half for us to have our baby. Mm-hmm. And we went down the fertility aisle and we almost started IVF and I had a lot of, sorry, that's how they're talking to you right now. And I had a lot of issues with polycystic ovaries and things like that and we almost gave up. You go through months where it's really hard and you think, is it worth doing this to my body?
Yeah.
But I'll let you know, I'll just stick in there because it's so worth it. The smiles they'll give you, it's so lovely.
We might have
Thank
to wrap
you,
it up.
Bree.
The phone line's pretty dodgy there, Bree, but we could hear the end result for you there,
so
Bree.
So beautiful.
That's beautiful and that, yeah, that's kind of
that's
thing
what
it
I'm aiming
hope,
for.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, who's this?
It's Carla.
Hey,
Hi, Carla.
Carla. What did you want to add?
I just wanted to say to Gabby, I'm so proud of you. I've been, it's like listening to myself when I just heard your conversation. And I just think you're an amazing person to be able to broadcast this to everyone because, you know, everyone needs to have that support. I've had fertility problems myself and eventually was blessed with a child. She's nearly 13 now, but listening to your story has really hit home and it happens. So many people go through it. And I just am so proud of you for sharing your story because we need everyone's support. I'm sorry. It's really, it is a hard thing for a couple to go through because I, like you, we wanted a child so much and it was not easy. And we tried bloody everything and eventually it happened. So please don't give up hope because it will happen. And just, you know, keep your chin up, honey, because we're here for you.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, my God. You've got me crying again, Carla. That was so lovely. Thank you.
Carla, she just composed herself.
And
she's
now
back
I'm
to the
back
panda bear
tears.
Look.
You're
131060. Hey, who's this?
This is Ali.
Hey, Ali. What did you want to say?
I just wanted to give my support to Gabby. I was in the same position. So when I got married, I'd been on birth control for like 12 years.
Yeah.
And when I went off birth control, I found out I actually had polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yeah.
And one of the side effects of that is that you gain weight.
Yes.
And so people actually kept coming up to me going, oh, you're pregnant. Oh, you're pregnant. Oh, you're pregnant. And it was like, the same thing every time I got my period. It was, no, I'm not pregnant. And people bringing that up just triggered that.
Totally.
So I think it really made me realize that people need to sort of keep their opinions by themselves.
Well said.
People often, you know, when you get married, the first thing they say is, when are you going to have kids? When are you going to have kids? And it's really hard to go, we're trying and it's not happening.
Totally.
That's really good advice.
For everyone else
And I don't think
there.
People mean malice or
of
mean harm or
not.
Whatever when they ask that, but that you just don't know what people are going through.
That's
so.
Exactly right. You don't know what people are trying to do, if they're trying, if it's not working, and maybe they don't want to have that conversation at that point in time. So, yeah.
Thank you to everyone who called through. Again, it is emotional stuff. It is meaty stuff. And if it raises any concerns within yourself, you can contact Lifeline anytime on 13 11 14.
He's the co-founder of a theatre company and appeared in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Gryffindor!
But he's best known from a little place called Hogwarts.
What's your names again?
Gabby, your Memory Monday mystery guest is Chris Rankin, but you know him as Percy Weasley from your fave film, Harry Potter.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to Australian Radio.
How are you?
I'm in shock. This is amazing. It's one of my Harry Potter people.
Yeah.
How you doing? I'm
really good. I'm really good. We're in the middle of a campsite in the UK at the moment in a heat wave, so life could not be better.
Are you looking for Horcruxes?
Every day.
Every day.
Oh, my God. I'm geeking out so hard.
Yeah, I know. And this is why we kept it a surprise. Chris, Gabby is the biggest Harry Potter fan I know. We want to talk to you about something else you're doing, Cinderella Live, really soon, which is really, really exciting. But first, do you mind? Are you happy to indulge Gabby? I'm sure she has a couple of HP questions she'd love to ask you.
Of course. Fire away.
Oh, God, I'm just not even prepared for this.
I
haven't organised any questions that I've been burning to ask for the past 15 years.
It's going to be one of those things, Chris, where Gabby's going to finish this interview
and
she's going to go, oh, why didn't I ask that?
What's your best memory from being on the Harry Potter site? What do you call it? The set.
It's 11 years of one big, great memory, if I'm honest. It's so difficult to pick out just one specific moment. But I think for me, the bits that stand out are the bits where there's a load of us together doing something really fun. And a good example of that is when we were filming Platform 9 and 3 Quarters at King's Cross train station in London. Because it was just one of those utterly bonkers setups, you know. Most of the time we've been filming up until that point, we've been on a studio set, so nobody, no members of the public have been able to see us. We've been tucked away at least in studios. And then all of a sudden we're at King's Cross, which is one of the biggest train stations in the country, with a steam train.
Wow.
And a load of ginger people, including, you know, Oscar-nominated actresses like Julie Walters and, you know, all sorts of people. So that was a lot of fun. And we got to do stupid stuff like running at walls. And, It was great.
What a head spin. Often we speak to people who are in movies that become surprise hits. Like just a week ago, we had Jerry Bamham, who was Uncle Frank in Home Alone. And he was saying, like, we had no idea that Home Alone was going to be huge. Absolutely no idea. But Harry Potter was huge before you were part of it. So did you guys go into making these films going, oh my God, we are going to be overnight stars because this is Harry Potter, for God's sakes?
I don't think we did. I certainly didn't. I mean, when we started working on the films, there was only just four books out. The fourth book had come out like maybe 5 weeks before we started filming. So Harry Potter, it was popular, but it had only just started to tip over into that kind of crazy popular world. And I think by the time the first film came out, which was what, like a year and 2 months after we started working on it, it was suddenly huge. And yeah, I can speak to myself, and I know that when I got out of the car at Leicester Square Cinema for the premiere of the first film, I nearly fell over backwards. Like, I had no idea what to expect. I was, you know, as a kid from the east of England, all I'd ever done up until that point was high school shows and community theatre.
Wow.
And suddenly there's, you know, like 20,000 people out there who know what you look like, who know who you are and who you play, and they're screaming at you like you're the Beatles. It was insane. And I don't think anything can prepare you for that. You know, I think that's just something you have to kind of just experience and go, okay, this is what it is, you know.
Was it a prerequisite that you had red hair to be able to audition?
I don't know. Well, you see, I auditioned by open audition. Basically, they advertised for people to write into Warner Brothers and say, you know, I'd like to be in the Harry Potter films because. And I thought, well, there's only one part I could possibly play, and I love Harry Potter. And I was 16 years old. I was ginger haired and the school prefect. So My options were limited.
Did you get any hate from people in, like, the general public? Because Percy was a bit of a hated character for a moment there.
He was a little bit, yeah. And yes, I did. When the fifth book came out, which is when Percy turns to the dark side, I did get it at the dark side. I'm crossing my fandoms here. That's Star Wars, but
yeah,
there was a little bit of tension in the ranks. Yeah. Shall we say? But I think I could bore you senseless for hours, and I know you don't have time to chat about my thoughts about why Percy's a misunderstood character, but we'll save that for another day.
We are on with Chris Rankin. Like you just said, he played Percy Weasley, Ron's older brother in the Harry Potter films. But tell us about what you're doing now. Cinderella Live, you're playing the fairy godfather.
Yes.
And this is a first. This is an interactive show?
That's right. So it's essentially a traditional UK pantomime, which I know is something that kind of has hit Australia a little bit in places, but it's not, I mean, it's by no means as huge as it is over here. But it's an interactive family musical, essentially, based on the story of Cinderella. It's a lot of fun. It's a really clever way of bringing panto to a COVID crowd, you know.
So good. Usually after the plug, that's where I'd wrap it up.
Yeah, I've got one more thing.
Gabby's wildly waving at me going, one more.
Chris, I was actually meant to meet you because you were coming to Australia for a Harry Potter trivia type tour of Australia, which was going to be amazing. It was meant to be last year, then it was meant to be this year, and now it's been postponed again. Yeah. But I was just looking.
Yeah.
Are you a New Zealander?
I am. Yep. Kiwi born and bred.
I did not know that. And that means we are allowed to claim you because that's what Australia does. So therefore, there you go. Percy is Australian.
Percy is Australian.
My passport definitely has a silver fern on it. So you be careful, all right?
Gee, that would have made the character a bit different. G'day, I'm Percy Weasley. How are you, bro? Chris Rankin, he did play Percy Weasley. Log on and see Cinderella Live. PantoLive.com is the website. Chris, thank you so much for, sharing all your stories this morning and definitely making Gabby's morning, mate. Much appreciated.
My absolute pleasure. It's been great talking to you guys.
Best surprise I've ever had.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
Gabs, you know we've been looking around to get a new house because we've kind of outgrown the current place.
Yes.
The house my wife and I bought about 8 years ago, it was perfect for just before my seven-year-old daughter Matilda was born, but then my son Charlie came along and we're just bursting at the seams. So we're looking to upgrade, which means we are going to a lot of open homes.
That's always fun though, hey, because there's so many amazing little glimpses into other people's lives that you get when you go into their houses.
Yeah, well.
It's so fun.
My kids have been getting probably a little bit too acquainted.
Right.
Because you're right. Like, we all have a bit of a sticky bag.
Look in the pantry.
Yeah, I just want to see how big the space is. What? They got four tins of Milo? You're crazy. But like I say, my kids, I think they're the worst kids to take to open homes because yesterday we were at an open home and we're in the backyard and there was a cubby house.
Oh.
So my son, Charlie.
How could you say no?
He's straight in at sorting through the toys. And it had like windows you could open.
Yep.
And his Charlie just throwing toys.
Out the windows.
Just don't want that one. Oh. Don't want that one. So out they go out the window of the cubby house.
Your toys, mate.
And I thought, oh god, this is a nightmare. But that turns out that was just the start. I go, where's Matilda?
Oh, no.
My 7-year-old daughter. So, and this house had been kind of staged. So one of the rooms, like I shouldn't say spare rooms, one of the kids' rooms, they themed one real girly and one real boy.
I guess.
You know, one was full of pink, one
so
was
so obviously
full of
blue. She was like, well, this is my room.
She's in the girl room, this is my room. And then I see her, she's in the wardrobe going through the fashion. going through his girl's clothes.
I'm like, the house doesn't come with the clothes.
So I sort her out. Then I go, where's Charlie now? Where's Charlie gone? He's in the little boy's room trying to wedge on a newborn because he's got a big noggin and he's got this newborn hat. And he's trying to wedge that onto his head. I thought, this is the, like, we're going to get kicked out of here. But then the absolute worst thing happened, and this one's just unforgivable. I go, where's Michelle?
Oh.
She's in the kitchen. She's found a bottle of tequila and a blender. She's whipping up margaritas. What are you doing? You're our house, love.
What do we do before technology? Honestly, I try to think back to how I did life.
It was awful. We used to speak to each other.
Oh, what?
And we
would socialize face to face
with other people. It was awful.
But how did you like wake yourself up of a morning and how did you remember to take the bins out? Like
roosters used to crow.
Without technology, I don't know how I lived. But
did you have to set a reminder?
To take the bins out. Yeah, so we've got an Alexa in our lounge room, which is one of those AI assistants, and she has been told to tell us at 6 p.m. every Wednesday night to take the bins out. And majority of time, Nev's already done it. And when she comes on, she's like, this is a reminder to take the bins out. He's like, I've already done it. Shut up, Alexa. And he yells
at her. You're not my real mum. You don't own me.
He actually gets real mad. But we've got all kinds of things like that set up so that we remember how to do life. But there's a new thing that's coming out for Alexa specifically when it comes to the AI in your house. They've decided they need to introduce a new characteristically masculine sounding voice so that you can choose if Alexa speaks to you, which is the original voice, or Ziggy, who is the new male voice.
If the world needs more of something, it's masculine voices
telling you what to do.
Telling the world what it needs to do.
This is what Ziggy sounds like.
Traffic on your commute looks pretty clear. The fastest route takes about 16 minutes via South Jackson Street and Bourne Avenue South.
So obviously very American, very calming, very deep. But they have said that, you know, they're looking at actually making these voices more regionally twanged. So each different area will have their own voice so that they relate to it more.
Well, that's something we've never heard.
No.
They're always other regions. So
yeah. And so when I heard that, I was like, I need to put my hand up. And so I've done a bit of an audition to send to them to see if I can get the voiceover for Australia. And this is what it would sound like.
The route you've picked would normally take about 15 minutes, but with all the bloody road works at the moment and a couple of school zones, I'd give it a good 25.
I mean, I think you've got the job, mate.
I reckon I could do it.
Best voiceover, Sheila. Call me Cheryl. Loud, mate. Hey, Cheryl. The Hit Breakfast Show.